Today on Real Radio.
You're not going to find a perfect church. Remember this, that growth invites problems in a church. However, if problems are dealt with correctly, in God's economy, it exalts the work that God is doing. It actually winds up being better off. Isn't that an awesome God we serve? When Satan launches an attack, do you crumble and give up, or do you realize now, wait a minute, my God knows this devil who's attacking me, according to Job chapter 1 and 2, my God knows everything about this, which means he is watching over me, which means this devil must have gotten permission to even knock on my door. So there's a reason, and he has said that I can be victorious in it.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. Of course, this is the narrative of the earliest of events of the historical church. And as one would expect, there would arise conflicts of varying types among God's people, especially as the church would grow. Well, the book of Acts does present everything, warts and all, as they say, which also means that it records the solutions to these conflicts. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called The Perfect Church.
All of us, no matter who we are this morning, all of us are looking for the perfect church. In fact, the title of the message this morning is The Perfect Church. And we all want to be involved in one. And we get together on Friday mornings here at the church in prayer, and what do we pray about? God, make this a perfect church. But the reality of it all is that there are no perfect churches in the world. None. Sorry to burst your bubble, but the truth of the matter is, how can we have a perfect church that's comprised of imperfect people? We are all sinners saved by grace, the Bible says. We all need His grace and His mercies and His forgiveness. But yet all of us are looking for a place that we can grow and that we can learn in the Word of God and be strong in the Lord. And yet we sample churches, and we should be doing that only prayerfully. Only prayerfully. Because every ministry according to the Word of God has been given a spirit. Same ministry, same spirit, but there's a different personality or attitude. And that's why there are churches everywhere in the world. That's why churches can exist rather geographically close, and yet all of them flourish. Because in a varying ministry is also a personality. We need to be sensitive to that. When we look at the first seven verses of Acts chapter 6, take a couple things into consideration. This is a brand new church in the book of Acts. It is growing. Growth generates problems. Problems generate answers from God, not dilemmas. Satan will perpetrate an attack against the church this morning in our study. And based upon the management of a church, does it crumble or does it gain victory over Satan's attack? And I want to tell you right now that I personally come from a ministry that I think is perfect. I was born and raised at Calvary Costa Mesa. I think Pastor Chuck's the greatest pastor in the world. Well, Jack, you shouldn't worship people. I'm not worshiping him. I'm telling you, I want to live my life like that man because it is godly. The ministry there loves. It reaches around the world. It's committed. It's very, very committed to integrity. It's very committed to the Word of God and the witness of Christ. I love it. I love just being near it. It's awesome as it is, it's not perfect. There's no perfect church. So if you're coming here this morning with, ooh, I think maybe, no, we're not. It's not perfect. In the moment you find the perfect church and become a member, it becomes imperfect. The church was never intended to be perfect. It will not be perfect until Jesus Christ comes back in glory. Then, and only then, will it be perfect. But it's our desire, whoever we might be this morning, to be led by the Spirit so that we'd walk in the Spirit. And we want to traffic around those and fellowship with those who are of the same mind and of the same spirit. We're going to get into a study right now. It's going to be very academic. But I think if you listen on your quest to find the perfect church, there are points that we're going to cover this morning that you need to jot down in your notes and that you can use in finding that place for you or for you and your family. We have been enjoying throughout the book, especially Acts chapter 5, the workings of the Holy Spirit. We saw last time together in verse 42 of Acts 5. So take a peek up just a little bit and look at that verse where it says, "Daily in the temple, that is publicly, and in every house, that is privately, they," that is the believers, "did not cease to teach and to preach Jesus as the Christ." Whenever God is working in a fellowship, they will be preaching and teaching. We've just enjoyed the Harvest Crusades, and tonight's the last crusade night down in Jack Murphy Stadium there in San Diego. And it will be the last night of preaching. Preaching has been engineered for evangelism. When you preach, you are reaching out to those who need Christ. A lot of churches make mistakes and they do a lot of preaching on Sunday morning and Wednesday night, but not much teaching. What happens is you wind up having a ministry that might be very large, but a very evangelistic only. We need to preach to get those to come to Christ. And then once they come to Christ, they need to be taught. And we see in Acts chapter 5, verse 42, that the church is healthy because it's preaching and teaching. And most of us this morning are of the need to be taught. And so that's what we do on Sundays and Wednesdays. And then on the street, outreaches and ministries throughout the city and cities, that is evangelism or preaching. And so that's one of the keys to a healthy church. By the way, Satan absolutely hates preaching and teaching. Satan would love to have a church focus on one side or the other, but not both. In fact, Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, he said, "For a great and effective door has opened up to me." Well, that's good news, Paul. But he continues with the verse and says, "And there are many adversaries." Paul had an open door of ministry, and whenever you have an open door of ministry, you can expect one thing, and that is Satan will come in and attack. And we're going to look this morning at the first seven verses of this excellent chapter to see just how Satan does attack. A couple things I want you to keep in mind before we get into this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, jot it down or turn to it, whatever, I'll read it to you. Verses 9 through 11, listen to this. If you're looking for a perfect church, listen up. "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" Paul says. "Do you not, or do not be deceived, neither fornicators," that is somebody who's having, practicing sex with somebody else, that then they're not married. "Nor idolaters," that means you're worshiping things you ought not to be worshiping. That means there's some other gods in your life. "Nor drunks, nor revilers." Those are people who are living for arguing and partying. And then extortioners, Paul says, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Listen, verse 11. "And such were some of you." Is that awesome or what? He also mentions in that chapter that adulterers will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, that's according to Gallup poll, nearly 50% of people in America are committing adultery that are married. He also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, that sodomites will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, nor homosexuals will inherit the kingdom of heaven. But verse 11 says, "But such were some of you." That's awesome. Look around you right now. Go ahead. Look to your right and look to your left. It's okay. No one's going to bite. Doesn't say man biters in here. Do you realize, looking around this room right now, that some of us were extortioners, some of us were fornicators, some of us were adulterers, some of us were homosexuals, some of us were sodomites, some of us were bank robbers, liars, cheat, what, stealer, whatever. Look, just look around. But we have been washed, it says in Scripture. We have been made clean. We've been justified by Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit. The church is not perfect. It's got people who have been washed by the blood of Christ. And we walk after him now in newness of life. We don't practice those things anymore. We may still struggle with some of them. But the fact of the matter is, he has washed us anew. And the church is a place for you and I to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Satan hates it. He's absolutely committed to the destruction of the church, and we're going to see this morning the birth of leadership in the church and the replication of leadership and how it ought to be. Peter warns us throughout his scriptures in 1 Peter 5:8. He says, be sober. That word means be self-controlled. Be vigilant. That means be alert. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a lion, roaring, seeking whom he may devour. He's not a lion, he's like a lion. Gosh, I don't know if I should share this. It's terribly embarrassing. Oh yeah, go for it, the guy says. It's my life. We don't live in a farm, but we try real hard. We've got chickens, ducks, everything you can imagine. Last night, my girls came to me. They wanted us to go out and buy a baby elephant. It's true. They saw National Geographic last night, and they wanted us to go get a baby elephant. Well, we decided to settle for a noise at 2 o'clock in the morning of what sounded like, I woke up and I heard this thing eating my roof. And I thought, no problem. This is a demon just trying to tear up my house. And Lord, get him. But I got a broomstick. And this thing's loud, man. I mean, loud enough for us to have to get out of our bed and sleep in the front room. It was so loud. That's loud. Well, I took a broom and I hit the ceiling. And the 9 stopped for a moment and then kept going again. So then I hit the ceiling again. And it didn't care. So I wondered if it had a gun. We woke up the next morning, and of course, it was right over our bedroom ceiling. So we went, I looked in there and I thought, this thing surely is eating through the ceiling now and is now like playing on my computer and all kinds of stuff. Well, you know what it was? It was a rat that was getting nice and plump on the chicken food outside. And he decided to start building a nest above my bedroom. And I don't know why I'm telling you this story right now. How did I get on this? Oh, your adversary, that's it. See, it is not the perfect church. Okay. He's like a lion. When we got this rat this morning, he went to his rightful place. He sounded like a lion. But he was none other than a rat. Satan wants to undermine and destroy your life, and that's why Peter says he's like a lion. He's not a lion. He can be overcome by the Word of God and by the knowledge of the Word of God and by faith in Christ Jesus. You don't have to give up and roll over. And I want you to listen real closely as we get into these points now concerning the perfect church. Point number one is found in verse 1, and that is problems within a church. A perfect church has its problems. Isn't that an oxymoron? But it's true. It says, now in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplying, Acts chapter 6, verse 1, Why is that the case? Because of Acts chapter 5, verse 42. They're preaching, they're teaching publicly, and they got home fellowships going. The ministry's growing. Satan can't handle it. He's going to come in like a lion. He's going to try to derail the work. In those days, that is the days of the going forth of the word of God and lives being changed. And whenever preaching and teaching is done, people's lives will be changed. And what can you expect from a church? Number one, if the word of God is going forth, you ought to write this down, lives should be changed. Lives should be changed. In fact, not only is this something you should jot down, it's an absolute guarantee. Are the lives in the fellowship being changed? The promise is Psalm 107, verse 20. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destructions. The word of God. Lives will be changed. The second thing about finding a perfect church is, are the lives of the people empowered by the Holy Spirit? This is my favorite verse. Micah 3:8, an awesome verse. Are the lives empowered? Micah 3:8 says, I'm full of power by the Holy Spirit. I'm full of power by the Holy Spirit. Are the lives of the people empowered? The third point is, does the ministry have vision? Or is it just existing? You know, bingo games and you know, potluck picnics, and that's all there is. What about changing the world? What about a global view? We shouldn't be worldly-minded Christians. We should be world-minded Christians. We should be thinking about what we're going to do with what God has entrusted us. And the verse for that is Daniel 11:32. That is also my favorite verse. Daniel 11:32. The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. I love that. Right now, this thing, the Lord's been doing things in my heart about Russia. He wants me to hand it over. And now I'm sitting back beginning to chew on my nails because I don't like to be idle. I can get in trouble being idle. And I like to be challenged. And so now, Lord, what is it? And I don't know exactly. But Cuba keeps coming into my mind. And I don't know. Maybe God wants us to be in Cuba in 6 months. Maybe he needs an outreach into Cuba. I don't know. Let's pray. I feel the Lord leading us strongly to go out on the streets and do evangelism. And not only do evangelism, but to invite people back to a certain location and say, hey, we'll be back here next Saturday night and bring your friends. We'll talk about prophecy or whatever plagues your life. People will come because there's not a building to come to. Some of you might be hesitating. You came this morning. I don't want to come into a church. Well, look, it's a warehouse. You're okay. You'll be fine. Well, we need vision. May we never become stagnant and bored with Christianity. The next thing, the fourth thing, is a faithful life. If the word of God is going forth, you'll have a faithful life. It's guaranteed. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why you shouldn't sleep during church. You should sleep in bed. You should be awake in church so that hearing, your faith might be increased. It's a supernatural event. Can't explain it. I just know it's true. It works. And the fifth point, the final point on finding out what happens when there's teaching and preaching of the word of God is found in Mark 4:20, and that is a fruitful life. Mark 4:20, it says, and these are they that are sown on good ground, such as, number one, hear the word, number two, receive the word, and number three, bring forth fruit. Jesus said, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Your life will produce fruit. Question, is it? Is the church producing fruit? You got to ask yourself that question. But remember this. You're not going to find a perfect church. Remember this, that growth invites problems in a church. However, if problems are dealt with correctly, in God's economy, it exalts the work that God is doing. It actually winds up being better off. Isn't that an awesome God we serve? When Satan launches an attack, do you crumble and give up, or do you realize now, wait a minute, My God knows this devil who's attacking me. According to Job chapter 1 and 2, my God knows everything about this, which means he is watching over me. Which means this devil must have gotten permission to even knock on my door. So there's a reason, and he has said that I can be victorious in it. Or do we get hit with the wave and get knocked over? We need to stand. In verse 1, now in the days when the numbers of the disciples were being multiplied, watch what happens. There arose a murmuring against the Hebrews by the Hellenists. The Hellenists are arguing against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of alms, actually, food supply every day. They would come. Now listen to this. This is closer to home than we think. Number one, the Hellenists. The Hellenists were Greek-speaking Jews who were converted to Christianity. They were born outside of Palestine. They weren't born in the areas of Jerusalem and Bethlehem and roundabout. But they were Jews converted to Christianity. They were brothers of the Hebrews, but they spoke Greek. They were raised in Antioch, Rome, Crete, you name it, anywhere outside of Palestine. No problem. My goodness, we look around here. There's white people here. There's black people here. There's tall people here. There's short people here. There's wealthy people here. And there's people in poverty here. And everywhere in between. The Hellenists were of a certain style. They were Greek-influenced Jews who became Christians. And it should have ended right then and there. The Hebrews were Jews born in Palestine, Aramaic speaking, Jesus spoke Aramaic, who came to Christ, and they're Christians, and it should have ended right there. They're now fellowshipping in the same church. But tradition tells us that all the Hellenists sat on one side and all the Hebrews sat on the other side.
Yes, well, as we say, red, yellow, black, or white, they're all precious in His sight. Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called The Perfect Church, a pretty candid look at the first few verses of the book of Acts, chapter 6. It's the account of how the first believers, many of whom were Jewish, were dealing with certain ethnic issues of the day, as one might expect. We'll continue with more of this presentation on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. One common theme mentioned throughout this New Testament narrative we know as the Book of Acts is how believers would pray, communication with Almighty God, and we'll dig deeper into that topic as we arrive at each of those passages. Now, if you'd like to support Real Radio and learn more about the true meaning, purpose, and practice of prayer, well, here's an offer you'll be glad to know about. It's a 2-CD set called When a Christian Prays. When a Christian Prays has been commended as a thorough and in-depth study on this great privilege we call prayer, being able to make our praises, thanks, and petitions known to our Almighty Maker. So, When a Christian Prays is yours for a gift of any amount in support of Real Radio. Again, for your gift to Real Radio of any amount, we'll be happy to send you this 2-CD set of Pastor Jack's series, When a Christian Prays. Now, you can visit us at realradioactive.org. You can read more about this series under the banner Special Offer. And you can make your tax-deductible contribution, as well as request it, all in one visit. www.realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. If you'd like to get in touch by telephone, here's our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. And in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.